Patty Boyd has lived a life most of us can only try to imagine. As a young model in London during the 60s, she met and later married the Beatles' George Harrison, only to divorce him later and marry rock star Eric Clapton. After years of urging, Boyd has finally written her story in the book Wonderful Tonight. Boyd told Steve Paulson about her first brush with the Beatles.
I would often go to casting sessions for TV commercials or for cinema commercials, or for one thing or another. Anyway, one day after I'd been modelling for a magazine, my agent told me to go to a casting, and I knew the director who was seeing everybody because I'd worked with him before on a potato crisp commercial, and I imagined it was going to be the same sort of thing. And when I got home, my agent phoned and said I'd got a part in the Beatles film.
It's been a
I said, oh, this must be a mistake. I never really wanted to be an actress. And she said, no, it's fine. You just have to dress up as a schoolgirl and walk on, and that's it. You won't have to say anything. So I thought, well, I'm sure I can do that. And then I thought, how exciting, I'm going to meet the Beatles. This will be fun.
You know I feel all right.
I gather that first meeting with George Harrison made quite an impression on him.
Yes, bless him. He was so sweet. Towards the end of the day of filming, he asked me if I would like to come and have dinner with him that evening. He also asked me to marry him. But because all of them had been so amusing, so funny and witty throughout the day's filming, I thought that he was joking. So
he asked you to marry him the first day he met you?
Yes. Yeah, he did. And I thought he was joking. I just sort of laughed. I didn't really think any more of it. And then he asked me to have dinner with him. And I said I was very sorry I couldn't because I was having dinner with my boyfriend that night. And then I felt, oh, poor George. He's probably not got anything to do. He's on his own in London, well, with the others. So I said, well, why don't you join us? And he said, no, thank you. It wasn't what he had on his mind at all.
But then you ended up going out with him, what, a couple of weeks later?
A couple of weeks later, this, as luck would have it, we were asked to come back to do a little more filming. This wasn't originally on the cards, and so how lucky that I did, because otherwise I would never have seen him again. And he asked me out, and by this time I had fired the boyfriend. So George asked me out, and I said, yes, I'd love to. And we were together from that moment on.
She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, 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 yeah.
And, I mean, this was the beginning of Beatlemania, and you were quickly absorbed into that. I mean, living with George Harrison, it must have been an absolutely crazy time in your life.
Yes, it was. I felt as if I'd taken an extreme left-hand turn. You know, life was jogging along quite nicely, and I was getting more and more work, and I was meeting more and more people and photographers. And then suddenly, meeting George and being in that film, everything completely changed. Photographers were trying to catch photographs of George and me, and we had to sort of hide and dodge them. And then I had the joy of going out with all the Beatles, and we'd go to the cinema. We had private theatres to go to. It was just really suddenly a completely different life.
You have a unique position in the history of rock and roll. You've been the muse to two of the most famous musicians of our time, George Harrison and Eric Clapton. What was the story behind George's song, Something?
I remember George, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, all musicians play their guitars day and night. They're always playing. And, you know, if you become used to it, as I had, you don't really notice what they're playing. But normally they're trying to construct something, construct a piece of music. And then George came back from the studio one day and he played something for me. And he said, we've just recorded this. I wrote it for you. And it's going to be on the single. I said, oh my God, this is so exciting. I can't believe it.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like.
And so I listened it and listened and listened it, and it was just the most beautiful song. And, you know, I just thought it was fantastic. And I was deeply honoured that he had written that for me.
Did it change your sense of yourself? I mean, you were immortalized in a song.
I didn't see it like that. I didn't really grasp the enormity of what he had done until many, many years later, actually. You know, it was just my husband, dear George, had written a song for me, and I didn't see it in the larger picture.
So you came to realize later on that you had become, well, part of history in a way, because you were the object of that song.
Yes. But it wasn't for many years that I realized it. Realized the importance of it. Because, you know, it is such an incredible song.
Tell me about the story behind Layla, Eric Clapton's great romantic song.
Eric and I were both given a book by a mutual friend, and this book was called Layla and Majnun, a love story, and it was written by a 15th century Persian poet, and it's really about unrequited love. And Eric saw himself as Majnun and me as Layla. So he wrote this most beautiful, powerful, passionate song. And this was really how he felt about me. What will you do when you found it? Nobody's waiting by your side. You've been running far much too long. You know it's just your foolish pride. You got me on my knees.
Story, as you tell it in your memoir, is even more dramatic. I mean, you say that Eric wrote these pleading letters to you. I mean, the first one was anonymous. I mean, it was this letter that arrived at your house declaring love for you, and you didn't even know who it was.
No, I didn't. I opened this letter. The handwriting was unbelievably small, as if someone was being rather shy about writing it, this beautiful love letter. And I had no idea who it was from, and I showed it to George. I said, look, what do you think of this? And he just poof-poofed it, you know. And anyway, later on in the evening, I got a phone call from Eric, and he said, did you get my letter? And I said, I got a letter. And he said, well, that was from me. And I said, I can't believe it. I had no idea that you felt like this. And he said, well, yeah, don't you? And I said, well, God, Eric, you know, I'm married, and I don't... You know, I don't feel the same as you, but I'm quite surprised that you feel like this.
Now, to make things more complicated, weren't George Harrison and Eric Clapton great friends at the time, during this time when Eric was pursuing you?
Yes. Yeah, they were friends. We were all friends. You know, we all used to hang out. All of us friends used to hang out together. And, you know, so there'd be my sisters, my friends, and Eric's friends. I mean... Eric and I, George and I, lived in this enormous house, and people would drop by all the time. It was just, you know, how it was then.
It's so fascinating to hear you describe this because, I mean, it sounds like maybe it was a certain moment in our cultural history when life was just so crazy and, you know, people would declare their love for someone who was already married to a friend. And, I mean, I'm wondering if there was just something about that particular period, that place where you were at that time that made this kind of thing maybe not quite so unusual.
I think, you know, what you're saying is absolutely correct. I think, you know, we all adored each other at that time, and it was, everybody was so loving and friendly towards each other. Friends were really best friends, and I don't know, it was as if we were all very close to each other. And it was a nice sort of gang of friends that we all had.
Well, and then Eric later wrote another song, another famous romantic ballad, Wonderful Tonight. What was the story behind that song?
Oh, this was... He and I had been listening to a lot of George Jones and, oh God, another country singer whose name I can't remember now. But anyway, we were talking about country singers and how the simplicity of how they write songs. And they write about sort of everyday life and love lost, love gained, and, you know, that sort of thing. It's very basic, down to earth. And anyway, one day we were about to go out for dinner or a party, I can't remember which, and I went upstairs to get ready. And I tried on one dress and another and another, and then trousers, and I just couldn't think what to wear, and I was taking so long. And then did my makeup and did the whole thing, came downstairs. There was Eric sweetly still playing his guitar. And I thought, how amazing, he's not cross with me. This is fantastic. And then he said, listen to this, I've just written it while you were getting ready. And that's how he wrote Wonderful Tonight. Do I look all right? And I say yes,
you look wonderful tonight. How do you feel when you hear these songs today? I mean, these were written decades ago. You were at a very different point in your life. What kinds of feelings does it call up for you now?
Well, do you know, the thing is that I recognize them so instantly. I recognize just the first chords, and I feel so close to them, as if they are kind of like blood relatives, if that makes any sense. They are part of me, I feel.
I'm so interested in this question because, I mean, it really calls up the whole idea of what it means to be a muse. I mean, here you are, one of the most famous muses in the history of rock and roll, you know, which, as you've said, it's a point of enormous pride for you. I could also imagine there would be some women, some feminists in particular, who would say that, you know, here you are, you know, getting your identity through these famous men you were married to, that maybe you lost your identity to them in some ways.
I think I most definitely did lose my identity. I know that I did, in fact, because when eventually Eric and I split up after 13 years, I was so confused about who I was. I didn't know who I was if I wasn't Mrs. Famous George or Mrs. Famous Eric. I had forgotten who I was before I was taken off on this whirlwind, and now I was off it. And so it took me a long time to sort out the wheat from the chaff and find out who I was, and that I was all right to be Patty Boyd and not Mrs.
Do you miss those years?
Well, not now, you know, because I feel I've done it. I've had the experience, I've had the pain and the pleasure, the agony and the joy. And I was that person at that time. Going through so much pain and the experience of pain afterwards has made me grow. I've had to grow up and see things in a different way. I've learnt more about myself now. So in answer to your question, I don't miss that time. I'm just really glad that I experienced it. But I wouldn't want to experience it again now.
Patty Boyd was the inspiration for the songs Layla, Wonderful Tonight, and Something by George Harrison. Her memoir is called Wonderful Tonight.